Alright, guidelines for a king. Now you might say, Pastor, what relevance has that got to do with me? Guidelines for a king? Maybe you are thinking, I am not a king. Well, I want to let you know this morning that if you are a Christian, you are a king. You might not know it. You know, sometimes we see television stories where people are born royalty and they don't know that they are royalty. And later on they discover that they are royalty. So, let's look at Revelations chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelations 1, 6 says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right? So, and has made us. We were not born kings, but God made us kings through Jesus Christ.
So God has made us kings and priests. We were not born kings. We were not appointed kings by persons, but we were made kings and priests unto God. And the Bible says, in terms of the purpose, why did God make us kings? He made us kings to bring him glory and to exercise dominion while here on the earth. Right? So he made us kings to give God the glory, to glorify God, and that we might have dominion forever and ever. Amen. So it's not just a title. It's not just a title. But there's a purpose in being made kings. And then in Revelations chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Now that is, you know, that is speaking about in the future. In the future, when when Jesus Christ returns, and it is saying that we are going to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and that we will reign on the earth. So, you know, what God wants is for us to begin to reign from now. For us to begin to reign from now as kings and to have dominion in the earth. Now, it's not a total, it's a spiritual reign and a spiritual dominion over the powers of darkness. And God wants us to exercise that dominion in the earth from now. Amen? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 16, it says, remember now, we're looking at guidelines for a king. It says, the king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself. And I want you to note the word here, for himself. Amen? For himself. Or send his people to Egypt to buy horses. For the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. Now, it's interesting to know that Solomon, as it says in 1 Kings 4:26, says Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses, and he had 12,000 horses. 12,000 horses. Now, previously, I did not make this connection. I thought, wow, you know, Solomon was a powerful and a wealthy king. But what the scripture tells us is that in amassing so many horses, it was against the will of God. Because God had stated through Moses in Deuteronomy that the king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself. Amen. And you know the word himself, it suggests selfishness, pride, you know, to exalt himself above others and above even God. So, you know, that's one of the guidelines for a king. Another, it says the king must not take many wives for himself, because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. Praise God. Now you tell the average man in the world that, you know, you have to be careful of women and the type of woman that you become connected with, because that woman can turn your heart from God. You tell the average man that, you know, the man of the world, him say, nothing no go so. Nothing no go so. They'll tell you they are in control. I believe that as Solomon did this and he was being warned, he perhaps said to his various advisors, I am strong. I am a son of David. I can manage this. I will not turn my heart from, my heart will not be turned from God. But we saw that his heart was turned from God. Amen. It says in 1 Kings 10:14, each year Solomon received about 25 tons of gold. In Deuteronomy 17:17, it says, and he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself. Here we have himself again. Right? You know, money, there's nothing wrong with money, you know. There's nothing wrong to have money. But you know when the problem comes in? When money have you. Amen? When money have you. When money takes a hold of you and money becomes your God. Money begins to dictate how you think and how you live and how you relate to others. It says, each year Solomon received about 25 tons of gold. And in 1 Kings 11:1, it says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. And these women worshipped other gods. And they turned his heart from God. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible says that we must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because when we are unequally yoked with an unbeliever, they will turn our hearts from God. Don't care how powerful you are. Don't care how powerful you think you are. God put it in his word for a purpose, for a reason. Amen? And we need to follow God's guidelines. Praise God. I remember once a young lady came to me, and she happened to be a believer. She came to ask me if I would marry her. And she brought her gentleman with her. And you know, as I questioned them, the young man was not a Christian and she was a Christian. And I said to her, the Bible says that you must not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. How is it that you are marrying an unbeliever? And she said, well, I prayed and I gave God 10 points. as to the type of husband that I wanted. And when this young man came along, all 10 points were there. That's why I want to marry him. And I said, well, no. I cannot go against what the Word of God says. And, you know, well, they left. But the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, another guideline for the king. Remember now, you know, we're talking about being a king and a priest for God. Amen. And these guidelines are applicable to Christians. It says, when he sits on the throne as king. There's a scripture in Ephesians that says, be ye seated in heavenly places together with Christ Jesus. So spiritually, we are to be seated on the throne beside King Jesus. And to be reigning with King Jesus spiritually. So it says, when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. Put simply, believers must have a personal copy of God's words. There are so many church-going people who do not have a Bible for themselves. And I can't understand it. If you love God, you must love the Bible. Because the Bible is about God. Can't understand it. I remember once I went to Miami on vacation with my family. And they live about 45, at that time they lived about 45 minutes from Miami International. And, you know, we left for the airport on the day we were to fly back to Jamaica. And when we were about a little over halfway to the airport, I discovered that my Bible had been left at the house. And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, Frank, could you turn around and go for my Bible? And he said, but you know, you might miss the flight. I said, I don't care. I am not leaving my Bible. Now you might say, boy, you know, pastor, you went overboard. No, no, I am not overboard. I am on board. And I'm jumping on board. Amen. And praise God. He turned around. I went and picked up my Bible. And praise God, I caught the plane. Amen. But you see, that the Word of God is very important. And we need to walk with our Bibles. We need to be ready in season and out of season to preach the Word of God. I don't just want it because I want to show everybody that I have a Bible. I might need a word. I might need a word from God. And that word can deliver me from death. That word can help me. Or I might need to preach a word to somebody. But the Bible is very important. And we need to walk with the Bible. Have a copy of the Bible. And this is what God is saying here. That when he sits on the throne, and we are spiritually seated on the throne of God, beside Jesus in heavenly places, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. At that time, they didn't have Bible bookstores. They didn't print Bibles. If you wanted a copy of the Bible, you had to get somebody copy it on a scroll. Amen? Believers must have a personal copy of God's word on them. Praise God. Now, we're going to look at four ways in which we benefit when we read the word of God. Amen? four ways in which we benefit when we read the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number one, Deuteronomy 17:19. It says, he, referring to the king, he, referring to Christians, he must always keep that copy with him. Amen. Always walk with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Some people, they park it until Sunday and then they come to church with it. Amen. Some people are ashamed for anybody to see them with the Bible. But people are walking about and you know, even women now, they're showing their condoms. They're not ashamed of displaying their condoms publicly. They're not ashamed to say, I walk with a condom as a woman. And there are Christians who are ashamed of the Bible. Can you imagine? Amen? But what does he say? He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily. How long? As long as he lives. Wow. Amen. Sometimes, you know, when you tell somebody you must read the Bible every day, they say, Pastor, you're going overboard now. I don't need to read the Bible every day. I am not a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I don't need to read the Bible every day. That's not so. God's word says that he should always keep the copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. Praise God. For 2 years now, we've been trying to get the members of this church to read the Bible every day. It's possible that some people have dismissed the request and say, I can't bother with that. Some people are struggling. But the Word of God says that they must read it daily as long as he lives. Why? Look at this. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God. Do you know that fearing God is a learning process? You know, you don't born fearing God. It's a learning process. And what the Bible is saying there is that when you read the Word of God daily, it helps you to fear God. To learn to fear God. Amen? Praise God. You know, one day I needed $2,000. That's, I don't know, about 200,000 Jamaican dollars. And the person, somebody wanted to bless me, but they didn't hear me correctly. Instead of 1,000, they thought I said 2,000. And they sent me $2,000. Now I could have said, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know what I did? I called the person and I said one. I don't need two. I will send back the one. I'll send back 1,000. Now some people say, well, Pastor, you're fool-fooly. Before you just receive the blessing and bank it and get the interest and praise God. I said, I'll send back the 1,000. Why? Because I fear God. Amen? Because God is watching me. And God knows. Amen. You have to learn the fear of the Lord. No, I was not always like that. But I am learning to fear God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, when I called the person said, boy, tell the truth, you know, it was really rough to send the two. But we have to learn to fear the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, I thought I put this thing on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That was a little advertisement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, it says, that way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. By obeying. Amen. You can't say you fear the Lord and you don't obey God's words. Are you with me? You can't say you fear the Lord and you don't obey God's words. Amen. But when you read the word daily, praise God. You know, I suspect that some people don't like to read the word because they are doing things that the word is going to say stop. Amen. Praise God. Conviction. That's a good word. That's a nice way of putting it. Very diplomatic. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So we have to learn. We have to learn to fear the Lord our God. It's a learning process. Amen. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. When you fear the Lord, you hate evil. You don't enjoy doing wrong. Praise God. Then it says, further on in that verse, it says, this regular reading. What kind of reading? Regular. Amen. When you go to the gas station, you can get regular gas, or you can get 90, 87 or 90. Amen. And God just says that he wants regular reading. It says, will prevent him from becoming proud. Amen. The word of God, James says that the word of God is like a mirror. When you look into it, you see your faults. When you look into it, you see that you are mere flesh. You're a man, and that you're just like any other man or any other woman. You're not better than anybody. The word of God keeps you humble. Amen. But it keeps him from becoming proud and acting as if he's above his fellow citizens. Amen. Praise God. So God's word helps us to recognize that we are not better than each other. That all of us are equal before God. Amen. So that's another benefit. It helps us, keeps us from becoming proud. Hallelujah. Another one, it will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. In other words, put simply, when you read the word of God, it prevents you from backsliding. Amen. It prevents you from backsliding. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. And finally, it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. Amen. I want you to think about that. By reading the word of God and applying the word of God, it not only affects your life, but it affects your children's life and your children's children. Wow. Today we're going to be blessing two babies. And I want to challenge the parents that are here. The parents that are here. Because what this word, what the Bible is saying, is that when the word of God becomes a part of our daily life, that there are benefits. And one of the benefits is that it not only benefits you as a parent, but it will benefit your children and your children's children. And that's awesome. Amen. I can testify to that. I can testify to that. It benefits. It goes from generation to generation. There's something miraculous. There's something powerful about the word of God. And the Bible says that the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It says that it pierces even to the dividing asunder of our souls and our spirits. And that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. The word of God is able to penetrate our children's hearts. And to keep them and to change them. To keep them from evil. To keep them from bad company. To keep them from bad influence. Praise God. The final slide. And this is so precious. Just before Jesus' ascension, between his resurrection and his ascension, I want you to take careful note of this. He was walking on the road and he saw two disciples and he joined them. And he had a long conversation with them. It says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets. The writings of Moses, it's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. And all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures. How many scriptures? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now just think about it. After his resurrection, he was not involved in any healing or deliverance. Amen. After his resurrection, his primary work was to get the disciples to understand that the scriptures, the reading of the scriptures, and the interpretation of the scriptures is of primary importance. Amen. Just think about that. And he, you know, some people, they say, well, I say to them, do you read the Bible? They say, I read daily bread. I read daily bread. Each day, you have a passage, a scripture reading, and you have a commentary on it. And they say that that is their Bible reading. Well, with all due respect, that cannot substitute for reading the Bible. Amen? If you notice what Jesus did, he took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. Amen. And then here it says, and this is the last, I think this is the last miracle. I stand open to correction. I believe this is the last miracle that Jesus performed before he ascended into heaven. It says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Wow. Amen. He was about to ascend into heaven, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Amen. Do you know that requires a miracle? It's a supernatural. You can't understand the scripture in your own mind. Jesus has to open your mind. That's why in Ephesians 1 we pray that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. It's a supernatural activity. Amen. So it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for scripture. You see, what scripture tells us is that when Jesus stood before Pilate and they sentenced him to die by crucifixion, it was not just an idea that popped up on that day. What scripture is telling us is that it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Amen. It was prophesied long ago. Amen. So brethren, our conclusion is this: that as Christians, as kings and priests unto God, there are guidelines for us to live by. Number one, we have to be careful of self, exalting self above God. Two, we have to be careful of pride that makes us believe that we are better off than others. Three, we have to be careful of our associations, and especially those that we become intimately involved with. There are guidelines. And four, we saw that when we read the Bible on a daily basis, that there are benefits that are available to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We saw that we will learn to fear God when we read the Bible every day. We saw that reading the Bible regularly will prevent us from becoming proud and thinking we are better than others. We saw that it will prevent us from turning away from God's commands in the smallest way. It will prevent us from backsliding. And finally, we saw that it will ensure that we and our descendants will reign for many generations. That we will live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Amen.